Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned into the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. You're tuned into the voice of an entire nation. Welcome to the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God, Allah, who has come to us in person and granted us the divine mercy and blessing in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise. In the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you, we say to you all in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555. Facebook.com/Hiram1555. BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555. And our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalaamJournal.com and SalaamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I send to you all, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful show for truth anywhere, by far, bar none, the Star and Crescent Report. The title of this show today is called, In the Time of God, the World is Laid Desolate. We're going to go into some of the previous clips that we played in our last section for the last two, part one and part two of the previous shows. But we're also going to go a little bit further in something else. I want you to understand something. As I was talking to two brothers last night, we were back and forth in it, and we were on the same page, agreeing to the same thing. But what is saddening and disheartening about the situation that we were talking about the breakdown of the world, the breakdown of the economy, and the global push for war, is that the so-called American Negro is dead to the knowledge of himself. He does not understand what is going on here. We're screaming about justice. We're screaming about freedom. We're screaming about this. But yet we are refusing to hear the proper methods and the proper actions to take to bring about freedom, to bring about justice, to bring about equality. We cannot get these things on our own terms. The Lord of the world didn't put it like that. See, once you get the selfishness out of you, remember we talked about individualism. That is something that has taken hold of this world. I'm going to get mine and you get yours. When I get mine, I'm going to shine. Mine. Never ours. Right? This is the mindset of the devil. But even the devil, as he comes up, he brings his own with him so that if something happens to him, they can still retain power over you. That's not us. When we get something, it's mine. Never mind the sacrifice of the dozens of people who made those sacrifices to help put me where I am today. And so the devil, he knows you. He weighs you. He selects those who he knows will have this individual mind state or mindset so that he can put it over on the people. And you see this pervasive throughout the rap culture. It's all about mine, what I got, what I'm going to get, what I have. Look at my shine. Look at my bling. You come out of the projects. And as you come out of the projects, you come out of poverty and violence and lack and want. And people desperately seeking a way out. And you get your $30 million and $50 million and $100 million. And all you can think about is going giving that white man $1 million for his Bentley. $1 million for his watch. I'm no scholar. But I believe Timex watches tell the same time as Marc Jacobs watches. They don't do nothing different from Marc Jacob watches. The only difference is a name. This is the mind state of the black man. We've got to shine. We've got to be flashy. And we want everybody to look up at us because we've never been accepted as something in our own lives. And you can see that's pervasive in the black culture today. Right? When the white man acknowledges us and gives us a check, then we start looking, trying to act like we're this and we're that. Now, it's one entertainer that I have to give, well, two entertainers that I have to give props to as I'm talking about this since we're on this at this moment, that you'll see them at any time of the day with flip-flops on, sometimes driving a beat-up car, never thinking that they're better than anybody. My partner, Roy Jones, and my boy, Smoke, Derek Smoke Gainer, who was the featherweight champion of the world. These two brothers, no matter where you see them, they are the same people. I can't say that about a lot of other people. You understand? But in the time of God, These are the things that we are to expect, because some of us will get beside ourselves, and the devil loves Negroes who get beside themselves, right? So he can use them even more. Look at this Ben Carson guy who's running to be selected, not elected, but selected as president, and how he talked about the gift that the white slave masters bestowed upon the Africans, which is Christianity, and how we should be blessed that we were brought here in slavery. At least we wouldn't be savages in African jungles. Now, Mr. Carson, he must have got all of his history facts wrong, because he must have forgot that it was the black Moors who civilized Europe. It was the black people of Africa who went and got the white people out of the caves of Europe. They were the ones with bones in their noses. They were the ones walking around on all fours. They were the ones hunched back over eating raw meat. And today you can still see it in their society and their culture, because they love raw meat, half-cooked meat. Mr. Carson must have got that. Oh, that's not expedient for him to know today, because he wants to fit in with the white society. He will sell out his own people, like a Mr. Obama, for the benefit of the crumbs off the table of the white elite. But in this day and time, you won't be able to get away with this, because this is the time of God. This is not the time of Obama or America or China or Russia. This is the time of God, and in the time of God, the world is laid desolate. Back to what I said. So you think I left what I was talking about what's going on over in the Middle East and how it pertains to you. I told you all this connects. Me and the brothers were talking last night, and we were looking at the situation and how America is deploying more weaponry. Out the blue, she deploys her F-15Cs to go over to Turkey. She has some destroyers that was supposed to be just visiting, quote unquote, Turkey, right? And at the last minute, they decided, well, we will stay here indefinitely, and we will protect Turkey from hostility. Well, if Turkey is not doing anything, why would you need to protect them from hostilities? Because her neighbor to the east is not at war with her. Her neighbor to the south, which is Syria, is at war, so they are preoccupied. Her neighbors to the north of her are her European allies. So why would you need to deploy destroyers and frigates off the coast of Turkey? Well, common sense tell you, because Russia has a contingent of 16 to 22 warships in Syrian waters and right outside of Syrian waters. Now, this is in concert. Watch how this connects with prophecy, brothers and sisters. Watch how this connects with the economic situation, because it's becoming so dire now. And what we want you to see is the big picture. So France, out the blue, announces that they will be deploying their only nuclear aircraft carrier on a permanent basis to the Mediterranean. Just so happened America, a day before that, announced the permanent deployment of those destroyers and frigates off the coast of Turkey, right? So France says this will give us a capability that we need to fight ISIS. ISIS doesn't have a navy, does it? ISIS doesn't have an air force. You say you're going to deploy your most advanced Rafale fighters, which this nuclear aircraft carrier holds 40 of them. Britain decides to deploy some of their advanced warships. Guess where? The Mediterranean. So that we see the ships are building up. China goes to Iran to have a closed-door meeting. A Chinese Air Force general has a meeting with the top Air Force echelons of Iran. What is this for? Remember Scripture. And I will gather all nations into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and there will I plead with them to let my people go. So America and her NATO forces are building up. Why are they building up opposite of Russia, which has a defense treaty with China, which has a defense treaty with Iran, which has a defense treaty with the states, what are they called? The former Soviet states, which the organization is called the CSTO, which has a defense pact with the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Do you see where this is going? Because there's a great buildup of war there now. God has put hooks in their jaws. The bait is Syria. He who controls Syria controls the Middle East. Because this is where all of the untapped gas has been found. This is where all of the oil reserves that they didn't know existed was found. It was found in Syria and Lebanon and the Levant area. And this is where they want to run pipelines to control all of these things. I will put hooks in their jaws. God put the proper bait on the hook, and now he's reeling them in. Remember what we said? The jump-off point. It's the Middle East and North Africa. Can't you see it now? America decides that she's going to open up some more military bases in North Africa. The British, they just started refurbishing and expanding a major military facility in Bahrain. I'm going to tell you something. 80% of Bahrain is U.S. and British military base and Canadian military bases. Bahrain, the nation of Bahrain, is roughly from, for those of you who are on the Gulf Coast area, the size of the country of Bahrain probably goes from the Mobile or the Alabama-Florida line, which borders the Mobile area, from there to roughly Crestview, Florida. Now, if you pull that up on a map, and then you take your ruler and put it there and put roughly, measure it in inches, and then do 3/4 of that, you'll see that most of this is military. See, America and Britain, they make these little small states so that they can come in and take over and use them for military facilities so that they can maintain global domination. They see something big coming. So now they're deploying something big. Let me tell you something. Isn't it ironic? And I want to, because brothers and sisters, sometimes we don't think. We just take what we read in the news, hook, line, and sinker. So in the recent weeks, we see the bombing of a Russian airliner, right? Just yesterday, former advisor to Vladimir Putin was found dead in America. They're saying from a heart attack. But we know that some leaders who died of heart attack and cancer, their staff said that they will actually kill. America has a way of killing people to make it seem like it's a heart attack. Slobodan Milosevic of the former Yugoslavia was killed by way of heart attack, which they had done autopsies and found out that he was murdered. Right? You don't understand the great politics going on here. You don't understand the jostling for power and war. We're in a time of total war. This is the time of God. Think not that I came to bring peace, but the sword. This is what it is. Before there can ever be peace, the peace breaker must be removed from the scene. And not only is America the peace breaker, but all of her European cohorts and allies. So the best way God goes to remove them is to stretch the military. At the same time, burden them with jobless, rising joblessness, hunger, homelessness, foreclosures. And this brings up anger in the people the world over. And you're setting it up for an insurrection and revolution at home. And this is the way the empire of the Anglo world is being eaten up from within. So we go back to this Russia deal. So the plane was brought down. Then Putin's ally was mysteriously found dead here. Do you know both of those are acts of war? According to international guidelines, international law, according to the UN Charter, both of those moves are an act of war. And whoever responds, the victim, if they respond to this as an act of war, by international law, they are justified in waging full-out war on the perpetrators of that. Go look in the UN Charter. Go look in the international law. You'll see what I'm saying is right. Google it. Well, something is missing from this. America seems to have had foresight for it, and Britain seems to have foresight, forewarning of this. And notice when this thing takes place, they all send crews to Egypt trying to get there, jockeying before Russian crews get there. It's something in this. You know what's in it? I want to remind the people of this right here, because some of us forget. I don't. When it comes to stuff like this, I remember, I have a long memory about this. Just recently, before this took place, the War Secretary of the United States was so mad that Russia had intervened and stopped the empire's roll over Syria. The headline was written, and it said, "Russia will soon pay price for airstrikes in Syria," Pentagon chief warned. U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter says Russia will soon start paying the price for launching airstrikes against terrorists in Syria in the form of reprisal attacks and casualties. How did he know that? How did he know it just weeks before it took place? Unless you had a hand in it. And why is it now that you're so interested in you weren't interested in finding the facts up in Ukraine? So why are you interested in finding them with Russia and Egypt? Because they know that this is a declaration of war. And they're trying to delegitimize the investigation or mess up the investigation and steer it in a way that does not lead to them. Do you see how God is putting Gog and Magog at each other? Do you see how the buildup for war is real? And it's becoming more and more intensified. As I said about the Chinese general going to Iran, all of this is tied into the economics too. In just a few minutes, give me a second. Which they were going there, from my sources, to ask Iran for a air and land route from Chinese Kashmir through Pakistan through Iran, and therefore they could fly there. They would have. They already have permission from what I had to fly over Iraq. So China would come to Russia's aid in the event of a Middle Eastern regional war with Russia in the midst of it. Now, this is what was said to me. Is it true? It looks so. I'm just telling you what the facts. Now, why would China do that at this time? Why would they? Why didn't they send their the army guy? Why didn't they send the Navy guy? Why did they send the top brass? Because this is an air route, one of the quickest air routes to Syria. Right? And don't forget that China has warships docked off the coast of Africa, which are in a breath or stone throw of the Mediterranean. So what we're seeing now is the buildup of war. Matter of fact, where's our Savior has arrived? Here we are, right here. Let us go to page 218. Our Savior has arrived. 212, excuse me. 212. Yeah, 212. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says. And he talks about, in this chapter, it's called Old World Going Out, New World Coming In. So now he's going to let us know that when we see these things that we see going on right now, this is because an old world is dying out, but they just not going out. That's not how it works. They're just not going to just allow you to just take over the throne. They've been in power for 6,000 years. So they're preparing for all out war. And they're doing everything they can to prevent the rise of a new power, a new world, a new paradigm. And therefore you see them building up their arms in space and in the air and on the land and on the sea and under the sea. You see them deploying thousands of miles away from their borders. Why? Because they're not just going to go quietly into the night. They must be forced out of power. All right? So Muhammad says, old world going in, going out, new world coming in. This is what the chapter's title. If you go right down to the bottom, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says this right here. Well, it's a short chapter. Let me read the whole thing. It's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 short paragraphs. I mean real short paragraphs. just a couple sentences each paragraph. And then we'll get the gist of what we see going on in the Middle East and in North Africa. And we'll see prophecy unfold. And we'll see how all of this also connects with the breakdown in the money markets, the breakdown in the financial elite's stranglehold on power, the freedom of you and I. All of this is foretold. But you just got to look at the Rosetta Stone, as my brother always say. The Rosetta Stone of the future events. That's Elijah Muhammad. Listen to what it says. The old world of mischief making and bloodshed is now on its way out in order to make room for the new world of righteousness and peace. Now stop right there, that first paragraph. Prophecy, God, the prophets, the apostles, and now the last messenger of God all come to the conclusion that an old world would be removed and a new world, a new order, a new paradigm would come in. So why are you fighting against the emergence of a new world order which is in your favor? So he goes and says, he's getting ready to describe the old world order. He says, for the past 6,000 years, we have had to live in an evil world that was designed to destroy the peace of man and to shed his blood. We bear him witness on this now. All around the earth, there has not been one section of the world in which the original man has been or where he now lives that has not been touched or ruled by the evil gods of the old world. Talking about this Caucasian. No matter where you at, he comes there and tries to tell you how to live, how he thinks you should be dictated to, how your people should conduct themselves, how your government should be run. And if you deny what he says, if you go up in opposition against what he says, he'll kill you and your people and destroy your infrastructure. That's the beast. Muhammad goes further and says, the God of righteousness and peace today has made his appearance to take to himself the rule of the nations under the government of peace, freedom, justice, and equality. Allah seeks to, listen to this part, Allah seeks to separate, not you gonna do it, Allah seeks to separate the evil from the good and the good from the evil. He declared himself as coming to seek and to save the black man, the so-called Negro, from his kidnappers, the white race. Allah came to unite. See, this is what you don't understand. Whether you believe it's going to happen, it's already underway. The unification of the black nation is already underway because God spoke the words through the mouths of his prophets, and now world events demand that it takes place. He says, Allah came to unite and restore the black man again to his own and bless him with the rule of the nations of the earth, as declared by the prophets Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. So what you see now, the uprising, the insurrection, the instability, the chaos, the confusion from America to Europe, from Europe to Asia, from Asia back to Africa and over to the Central and South America and the Caribs. All of this is to remove every linkage to the old world so that you can see your place as the masters and rulers of a new world. You will be the pillars. You will be the weight bearers, the burden bearers of a new world. You will be the government of the new world. This is what he's come to restore you to because you've fallen from that. So now God says, listen to good. He says this through the mouth of his apostle. Listen. Well, brother, I thought you were talking about Russia. I thought you were talking about the economic situation. Pay attention. You're in class now. So let us talk and let us teach. Right up under that paragraph, in bold words, it's a section called Fall of Ancient Babylon. Now, why would he stop in the middle of a chapter of a book and then emphasize something so unique, something so grand that you would have to think, if you're not wise enough, you would think it to be another chapter all within itself. Do you think about these things? Remember that this man is a strategic thinker. He's our general in the war of Armageddon, and he has been trained by the Lord of the world by himself. So what every word that he puts there, everything that he positions it there and puts it there for a reason unto himself. So then he goes and says, right up under that heading, Fall of Ancient Babylon, he says, in the fall of ancient Babylon, at the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry is heard among the nations. Here, the Bible teaches us, and we see today, not yesterday, but today, at the fall of the old world, here we go again, that old world got to go out, right? So if something old has used, has lived out its usefulness, and God promised us that he would make all things new and the former should pass away, what should we expect? Something new. But this newness will not come from the hands of the old world as they proclaim to build a new world order. For they cannot produce anything new. All they can produce is dissatisfaction, war, bloodshed, occupation, and destruction. We don't want that for the new, else we would be happy with the old. And there would be no need to replace the old with the new. Do you think about these things? I do. So Muhammad says, at the fall of the old world, there is a great noise of war. Do we not see it? Everywhere you look now, there's the threat of war, and not just war, but global war and thermonuclear war, right? Everywhere. And no matter how many miles away it is from America's shores, her scribes, which are the propaganda mouthpiece of the West, which is the media in print, internet, radio, TV, all of it, they are the scribes of the empire. And America is never wrong. I don't care if she deliberately bombed a hospital. I don't care if the doctors were running and she deliberately stood over them with her gunship, helicopters, gunning them down. It was a mistake. But hey, if you look over there at Russia, maybe she's bombed a hospital too. You see? Misdirection. This is what Pharaoh is good at. He got his magicians. He said, if you defeat Moses, I will make you near to me. And so the magicians did all that they could. And we who follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say, as Moses and Aaron said, cast down your staff, and we too shall cast. And so they, all of these leaders and all of these puppets who are in your midst, we tell them all to cast down your staff, and they have cast it down. And we surely have cast down the staff of Moses. And as the scripture says, immediately our staff ate up their lives. So we are now showing you the truth of God as revealed by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You can't dispute this. There's war, great war, the noise of war, and more war going on. How can you deny such open truths? Muhammad says, at the fall of the old world, there is a great noise of war, the fighting of war, the destruction of nations, towns, and cities, and the killings of their citizens. There is disagreement and confusion of the heads of nations. Then listen to what he says. It is a very dreadful time that the populations of the earth are now living in. So now we see everybody, no matter what economic situation they're in, from the smallest nation to the largest, they're putting their faith and trying to build up their might of arms. Why? Why? Because they know something of the greatest magnitude is about to take place. And they've seen how the empire gobbles up nations, destroys sovereignty, destroys independence, all for the sake of humanitarianism whenever it suits them. So in the time of God, what is happening, black man and black woman? We see for ourselves that the world is laid desolate. So Muhammad goes further, he says, this is the time of the destruction of a world. It is not to be compared with the destruction of an organization or a few towns as it was in the days of Noah. The destruction today is the destruction of a whole world. So when we see the fallout in war, you connect that with the fallout in economics. You connect it with the fallout and the disrespect for the culture of people. You look at it and you connect it with the fallout of the empire's military stranglehold, her political stranglehold over the nations of the earth. He says, it is not to be compared with the destruction of an organization or a few towns as it was in the days of Noah. The destruction today is the destruction of a whole world, not a half world, not part world, not a couple states, but for the whole world. What is he talking about? He's talking about the system and the people who made and maintained that system. All of it must be washed away to oblivion. Because if they are allowed to stay, they will try to recreate that which is the antithesis of what God is trying to bring in. So he says, the prophets could not have given us a better picture of what we may expect today than the picture of what took place in the fall of ancient Babylon. Now, for you to understand what is going on in America today, see, some of you Muslims, especially today, are lazy. You don't want to read. You don't want to study the right thing. You'll read your novel. You'll read you some poems. But when it comes to studying scripture and prophecy, you get lazy, and then you get mad at somebody else who is applying themselves. That's the nigga in you. So he says, the prophets could not have given us a better picture of what we may expect today than the picture of what took place in the fall of ancient Babylon. Well, to get a proper understanding of what you see transpiring over there, what you see transpiring here, what you see on the global stage, whether it's political, economic, military, or culturally, or even scientifically, one must go back and study the scriptures and study the history of ancient Babylon. How did she rise? How did she prosper? How did she stall out? And how was she removed from power? Then he goes and says this. The earth, land, and sea are set in battle array. Every type of deadly weapon is fashioned and is now being used against man and man. See Holy Quran chapter 30, verse 41. There cannot be any peace for man under these conditions. Well, America says she's after peace. She's deploying warships, warplanes, gunships, bombs, right? Robots to every theater of war that she's involved in. Has she brought peace to the people? Has any of them brought peace to the people? For how can they bring about peace when their method of bringing about peace is the same method that started to maintain the war? In the time of God, the world is laid desolate. Desperation is on the face of the people, black man and black woman. Desperation is on the face of the leaders. They see the end coming. They see the collapse here. They know that Allah has them. And you know what? They become so desperate because they want to get the people's eyes on the refugee crisis that's going into Europe and the refugee crisis that's coming in the South, from South America up into America. Well, if one were to look at it, you would say, yeah, they're being invaded. But then if one were to look at it from the right perspective and say, what caused these people to come there? It was the destruction of Libya. It was the destruction of Yemen, the destruction of Somalia, the destruction of the independence of all of those nations, the overthrow of the governments who were independent-minded. The white man always says, don't come to us, but he's always coming to you. He don't want you in Europe, but he won't willingly leave Africa. He says that he's civilized, yet he's the blood shedder of the entire globe. Africa is not holding the world ransom with nuclear bombs. African nations don't have aircraft carrier fleets in the port of other nations, or have been in military garrisons on the shores of other nations for 60 and 70 years. The blood shedder does this. humanize, they dehumanize, then they what? Destroy. All in the name of our land. Right? Oh, black man, black woman, this is a beautiful day to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's a beautiful day, a beautiful time to be a follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Let me read some out of the book. Self-preservation is the first law of nature. And if, brothers and sisters, if you get a chance to, go over to the Highland 1555 blog, donate, whether it's $0.01 or $1. Also, if you haven't gotten yours, get your book, Little Highland and the Temple of Doom, Little Highland and the Journey to Self, which are e-books. Also, you can order Messenger Elijah Muhammad, Warning to the Hypocrites, Messenger Elijah Muhammad, Self-Preservation is the First Law of Nature, Messenger Elijah Muhammad, The Prodigal Son, and our new Muslim cookbook. Okay? All right, all praise is due to Allah. But let us go to self-preservation. It's the first law of nature. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says right here. He says on page 23, the whole entire world of Christianity, the whole world of the white, entire world of the white man is going to total destruction. In their effort to try to settle their differences on the basis of arms, not on the basis of love and unity, but on the basis of arms that will never set peace on earth for them, as it was not made for peace. But I mean arms of their sort, literally arms, destructive arms. This was not made for peace. This is made to break peace. It was made to destroy the life of those who would be at peace. This is what we see going on. Now, if Elijah Muhammad is lying about this, you can prove it. What are they doing? Everywhere they go, where they go, they listen. Even in Africa, when America set off that false flag attack and started Ebola and all of that stuff, when Cuba deployed hundreds of doctors to help out, what did America say? We're going to help Africa in this Ebola outbreak. Now, the same area where the bio labs of American NATO were testing out something similar to Ebola is where the Ebola breaks out at. But America didn't send her top physicians, her top nurses, or her medical staff. She says, we're going to help Africa. We're going to deploy 200 to 400 Marines. What, they're going to fire bullets at Ebola? They're going to drop bombs on Ebola? Do you ever think of this logic? Some of you don't. But in the time of God, the world is laid desolate. They're becoming desperate because the people can't find work. The people are desperate because everything is shutting off. Africa is rising up. Right? Asia is rising up. Right? South and Central America and the Caribs are rising up. And yet, the white man is losing his dominance. As long as he dominated, he can deal with a lot of things, but he's losing his power, his political clout, his sway, his wealth that he stole off others. He's losing everything that he thought. Like I said on the last show, all of these things are happening at the same time. And then they're talking about climate change. They're talking about global warming. And they're talking about space storms and all of this stuff. And then on the top of that, they're talking about the inherent position of the white man as they depopulate themselves by not being able to reproduce. No other people is like that but them. They're dying out here. They're dying out in Central and South America. They're dying out in Africa. They're dying out even in Europe. Even in Russia, there's a reward I think Putin offered to help pay for the children's colleges when they get old, college learning, and something else he offered, if they would repopulate Russia, because the birth rate has slipped so far. They're even talking about all over Europe. The birth rate has fallen so far. But why is all of this happening at the same time? There must be something in this time that is drawing this out, bringing this thing to a bubble, and making you see that it's about to burst and go supernova. Because Adam can't go over the seven. For Adam to go over the seven would make God a liar, would make God not be all-powerful, would make God seem inferior to Yaqub made man. So all of these things, God put, see, they thought they could beat prophecy. But God, they didn't know that God had already put a biological clock in them that would help stop the spread of this disease and help prevent the metastasizing of this disease as the dawn of the seventh comes in. So this disease is now being quarantined and isolated by the nations of the globe. And what the disease doesn't know is that nature is killing him. His own biological clock is killing him. And now God has stirred the nations of the earth up to help kill him off. And only after the blood shedder is removed can there be peace. Isn't that right? For you to bring about peace, you must remove the peace breaker. But the peace breaker is not going to go silently in the night. And he has nothing else to lose. Gerasimente says it all. When a man loses everything, he loses it, right? This white man has lost his position. He's lost his military, technologically advanced position over Russia and China. He's losing his position in this place and that place. He's losing his sway over that leader and that leader. He's losing the perception of him being the city that sits on the hill. He's losing everything at one time. So he's losing it. And he's doing everything to leave the world uninhabitable if he can't rule. If I can't rule, I'm going to kill everything. You, as I say to the people who listen to the show, if you don't believe this man is the blood shedder, if you don't believe this man is a brute beast, you just think over that mad doctrine, mutually assured destruction, right? He wants it where if I can't rule, I won't leave the earth in a position for anyone to come behind me. He has it that he is willing to destroy the earth, not one time, not 10 times, but over 30 times and still have enough weapons and ammunition to blow up any other planet. Do you see the sociopathic thinking of these people? It ain't sufficient to have enough weapons to blow it up one time. I want to be able to boast that I can blow it up 30 times. You see? And you want to be in a society or a world ruled by these people? You are crazy as hell. You have been touched or bitten by this rattlesnake, and the venom has spread. And only God can get this stuff out before it causes irreparable damage. In the time of God, the world is laid desolate. 310, I'll get you in a sec. Well, you know what? Let me get you now before the thought leaves your mind. So 310, you on the Star and Crescent Report with your cyberspace family. I send to you, my brother. As-salamu alaykum.
Wally Slam Black, how you doing today?
Brother, I'm doing awesome. How about yourself?
I'm doing just fine, brother, just fine. Like as you were just saying, mutually destroyed destruction. Once you destroy the earth, where the hell are you going to live at? It's just like you tried to blow the moon out there, right? Once you get all these bad people ain't going to listen to you, where are you going to live at? Since you can only live on this. You can't live on no other planet. Where are you going to live at?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Also about that Negro that's supposed to be running for president, brother. No matter how smart you are, no matter how much money you have, no matter how much wealth you have, if you're not keyed in into the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you're a damn fool. As you were saying before that this guy talking about Christianity, at least we got Christianity. We came from Africa. Swinging in trees. Well, like Elijah Muhammad said, if we was over there in Africa swinging in trees and eating bananas and stuff, and then you say at least they would have been our trees and eating our own bananas.
Yeah.
At least we would have had something to ourselves. All of this wise people over here with all of this wisdom and all of this money and stuff don't own one square inch of land that they can call their own.
That's right. That's right.
Well, that's the act of a fool.
Yeah. But again, brother, remember what we said. The Bible did say that God would send this last message to the house of the hard-hearted, hard-head, stiff-necked, and rebellious people.
And brother,
and that's
if
all.
That ain't the black man, if that ain't the black man of America, I'll eat your hat.
Brother, listen, you stay right there. I'm gonna come back to you in just a second. I want to play this little clip here. So, brother, you hold on right there. I want to talk to you, brothers and sisters, just to show you they're mad because the economic situation is imploding. And think about this. If you have youth that cannot find jobs, they're going to start sitting around, they're going to get impatient and angry, and they're going to start wanting to take stuff. You got youth, elderly, the same thing, and some of them are going to start committing suicide. Well, we see that. Well, that's all over because Europe, America, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, all of them are suffering from the collapse of their system, and their people can't find jobs. So you know what's going to happen. Brothers and sisters,
now, when we talk about the economy, we talk about how the next generation is the foundation of how the economy is going to be doing. And we've been noticing that all of these college graduates, all the high school graduates, they're having a very difficult time finding full-time, high-paying work. And this causes a problem. I mean, we're seeing the same thing happen throughout Europe, where the youth unemployment is 50, 60% plus, and the next generation is not supporting the economy whatsoever. And if they do not have the foundation there, the economy is going to fall apart. And we're seeing the same thing here in the United States. Most of the college graduates who are graduating, they cannot find work. And I'm not talking about the part-time working. I'm talking about jobs that are in their field making the pay they're supposed to be making after taking out, you know, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars in student loans. And we're finding that a lot of these youths that are coming out of college, they are living with their parents. And if we go back to 1999, a quarter of all 25-year-olds live with their parents. By 2013, this number doubled. And currently, half of young adults live in their parents' home today. Fast forward to 2015, that number is even worse. And when we look, we see that this is not just in one area. I mean, many of the states are reporting that children are living with their parents, but they're no longer children. They're 22, 23, 24, 25. And in states like Arkansas, there's 37% still living at home. Illinois, 53%. Indiana, 42%. Mississippi, 44%. Tennessee, 44%. And it goes on and on and on. And this is showing us that they are not getting those high-paid jobs where they can go out and rent an apartment, get a car to get to work. We're finding that most of these youths are being pushed down by the economic factors of today. Now, I know a lot of people always hear from others saying, listen, well, I have a job. You should have a job. You're lazy. You're not really looking for a job. Well, let me just say, those people who have a job, thank God you do. Because you don't want to be in that circumstance where you're laid off and you're looking for one, because you will not realize how hard it is to find another job until you lose that job. And I know a lot of people, I'm one of them, who lost their job, and it was a very, very difficult time finding another job. Sometimes you can't find that job. Sometimes you have to start something on your own because there's just nothing out there. And we're seeing a lot of people fall into this. And it's not just with finding a job, it's also trying to sell your home. People blame it on you. You haven't fixed up your house. All this always seems to be turning back to the person. But let me just tell you, it's not the person. It's the economic circumstance. It's the economy that the central bank created. It's the illusion that everyone is living in today. Because let me just say, those people who have been laid off, and there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in the last year that have been laid off, they are having a very difficult time finding work. And people say, well, how do you know this? Well, you have to look at the unemployment numbers. They do tell us certain things. Now, of course, they're telling us that, you know, unemployment is very low. And we know we don't believe this, because what they do is they take those people who can't find work and they just don't count them. And if you noticed, that number continually increases. Where are these people coming from? Think about it. These are the people that are being laid off. These are the people that cannot find work at all. Now, a lot of them do believe that if they hold out, they will find that magical job with the pay they were making before. And what happens is, time passes, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, and they still can't find that job. And they become depressed, they become upset, and some do stop looking. They still want a job, but they just give up and say, I can't find one. What is going on here? Now, some of them might go take a part-time job, and other people are continually trying to find that magical job that just doesn't exist out there. And this is what we're seeing today. And it's not your fault, because think about it. You just graduated college, for those people who are graduating. And all throughout high school, into college, they told you, go to college, you're going to get a good job. You come out of college, you can't find that job. How is that your fault? It isn't. It's because there's no jobs out there. And I'm talking real jobs.
What did Elijah Muhammad tell us in the Theology of Time? What did he tell us in the Fall of America? What did he blatantly say in Our Savior Has Arrived and Message to the Black Man? My dear black brothers and sisters, there will be no jobs. Why did he say that? Because for Allah to work his work and bring about the thing that he has willed into action, into being, he must take the crutch that you're loving to lean on from up under you and make you walk on your own too, without being able to lean on the crutch, which is the white man's world. So long as you've been able to lean on it, well, I got me a $35, $65, $75 job. I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer. I'm a rapper. I'm this and I'm that. But when all of this stuff is gone, the prodigal son may have to take a second look at his father's house and what his father promised him. This is going on now. So a separation is underway. God is removing everything that you held dear to you in this white man's world to force you to separate from this beast. But there's a unification also taking place. Because in this separation, you will unite with the righteous and go back home to your father. Isn't God great? We say it in Arabic, Allahu Akbar. He is not only great, he is the greatest. In the time of God, the world is laid desolate. Brothers and sisters, there's 2 minutes left. I ask you to give me about 8 to 10 more minutes of your time, please. And if your phone rings, don't answer it, because it'll click you off. If you are online, it might knock you off. Brothers and sisters, just give me a few seconds of your time. I was reading something about the drought and the weather patterns in America and all over the world now, but especially I'm talking about America right now, and how it has destroyed the wheat. America no longer has those strategic wheat reserves. She has a small amount of strategic rice reserves. She has, all of her reserves have been wiped out or decimated, will not be able to help her for long when the economy melts down. Also, there was an article that came out today, this morning I believe it was, and it was talking about the situation with El Nino and how it says El Nino hits dinner table as food costs soar most in 3 years. See, you remember what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, when all of this stuff starts taking place, there will be a great famine, people would be starving, be hungry, it would be forcing the people to look over the promise of Allah and reject the lies and the promise and the deception of the devil. And remember how we kept telling you that this going to be a dreadful time when you are going to scream out, "Oh Allah, help me," especially when your child. But in the midst of all of that, you watching the NBA playoff, NBA games, you watch the baseball playoffs and the championship, you watch this, you are still taken to sport and play. I'm not saying in your recreational time, not do, because God did bring us, he didn't come here to make us sad. But what I'm saying is some of us are more preoccupied with that than we are with righteousness. Yet everything, we always extolling our virtues and never really telling the people how we truly are. But we got to deal with ourselves. If nobody else got to deal with you, you got to deal with you. Muhammad says this. You notice that our black people, especially here in America, have become sold to nothing in the world but sport and play. This is the way the people were of Lot and Noah. They were sold to sport and play, and they hated the teachings of those righteous prophets. And the day of their doom came, unexpected to them, because they did not heed their warnings. What is he talking about, heeding the warning? That means to watch, to pay attention. What did the scripture tell you? To watch as well as pray, right? And if you're not watching, you can have your belief, but your belief won't stop what's coming. You understand? All right. Listen what the word heed means, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary. The word heed means to pay attention to, advice or a warning, to give consideration or attention to. Now, remember, the Bible says watch as well as pray. So it's telling you to give consideration to. Right? To take heed of. To listen to the advice of the prophets. To watch as well as getting on your knees praying. To watch as well as standing on your square praying. To be mindful of who you are and your duty to God and your nation in this day and time when God exacts revenge on the Yakub-made world and man. So Muhammad goes further and he says, and the day of their doom came, unexpected to them, because they did not heed their warnings. So it is here today. 24 hours a day, they are trying to have sport and play and talking over foolish things, spending their time in foolishness. So you take your backside pictures, you're up in the club, you're talking about what you're going to drink tonight, who you're going to lay up with tomorrow, right? Talking over foolish things, spending their time in foolishness. I fear of an evil day overtaking my people here in America soon. True, the world is warning you now, and you act as though the white man can help it. But they are telling you now that unemployment keeps mounting and that they can do nothing about it. They are warning you that you are going to get hungry too. But you are not trying to take it with sincerity. That they are telling you the truth. You are like a child who cries to its mother for bread and milk, whether there is any in the kitchen or not. So this is you, a big old grown child who has been nursed and fed by the white people and sheltered by them. And you think you will always have this from them. But no, sir. Remember the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. At last, the rich man died, and in the depth of poverty, he came to suffer the same thing that Lazarus suffered, being deprived of good homes and luxury of all kinds. This will be taken in this day and time. Now, Elijah Muhammad, in this book, Our Savior Has Arrived, brothers and sisters, honestly, this is the last chapter of this book. This was the last book that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad printed. He gave this book out at Savior's Day for free to everybody. Because there's something in this that he wanted you to pay attention to. And listen, what you see, all of these people are losing their homes. You're seeing all of the people who once had all of this stuff now reduced to your level. What did Muhammad say? At last, the rich man died, and in his depth of poverty, He came to suffer the same thing that Lazarus suffered, being deprived of good homes. See, they deprived you. If you had a job, you weren't on your job long enough. If you was on it long enough, you didn't make enough. If you made enough, then you needed a co-signer. Every time you wanted something, they put an obstacle up for you. But the Bible cannot be thrown in the wastebasket if you know how to go into it. The prophet's words must come to pass. As thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. So Muhammad said, being deprived of good homes and luxury of all kinds, this will be taken in this day and time. Not yesteryear, but this day and time. And isn't that what we see in the day? The meltdown of the housing, the meltdown of the financial market, the meltdown of the Baltic's dry index, the meltdown of the silver and gold market, the meltdown of trade. Huh? Isn't it being taken in this day and time? Huh? I'm pretty sure that this is what's taking place. This is the last paragraph on the last page of the last book given to us by the last messenger of God. That's not no coincidence. There's something deep to that. Marinate it on your brains so that you can understand the depths of where we are in prophecy. You understand? I hadn't forgot you, Rashid. They gave me a few minutes. I'm going to bring you on, but I got to play this four-minute clip, and then I'll bring you right back on, my good brother. Brothers and sisters, listen and know that the collapse is underway.
Now, in the housing market, we understand that the housing industry is starting to crumble apart and fall apart. Now, everything that we're talking about today is happening right now. Everything, the news, Kay Schiller, everything they're talking about, the Fed, is 3, 4, 5 months ago. So right now, we are seeing prices decline already. Kay Schiller is saying that they've leveled off. And in certain places, they dropped a little bit. Well, let me tell you, they dropped a lot more. And we're seeing mortgage applications continually falling. They're down another 3.5% week ending October 23rd. This is coming from the Mortgage Banker Association. And if the Fed were to raise interest rates, guess what? All those people that were looking to purchase a house, they'd be kicked out of the market. Now, a listener wrote in, I'm only going to say his first name, Joshua, and he lives in Long Beach, California, and he's been in the offshore oil for 13 years, and he's watched ships go by year after year. Usually the cargo ships start stacking up in September, most likely for the holiday season. And what he's seeing right now is that there are none. They're not stacking up. The ports are not full. And this tells us that the goods that people need or want, they're not purchasing them. So there's no reason to import this type of stuff. And this is why we see the Baltic Dry Index continually falling. And again, it's falling once again, and now it's down to 737. And this is the raw material the factories use to create goods. So we're starting to see this all over the place. And to go with what's happening at the ports, we see that trucking, which takes all the goods from the ports out to the different areas of stores and things like that, warehouses, the trucking industry is starting to slow down. The largest U.S. truckload carrier, Swift, announced that revenues are declining. Now, Swift blamed the disappearing fuel surcharge, you know, because fuel has gone down, and they're saying that, well, since we can't push the fuel surcharge, this is why we're seeing our revenues go down. But it doesn't make sense because they're still charging the fuel surcharge. So the question is, what are they talking about? So they're still charging the fuel surcharge, and they're saying they're not seeing the revenue from it, because what's really happening is trucking is slowing down. They're not seeing the real revenue. And this is what's happening, and I mentioned this about oil prices, why they're dropping so dramatically right now. Because most of these companies, especially those that are delivering, they've kept their prices at the same level. They didn't drop it when fuel has come down. And you can take a look at food. They've come down a tiny little bit, but at this level, they should have dropped a lot. They're keeping it up where it is to keep their profits up, their revenue continually coming in. And this is the one of the reasons why oil has been pushed down. Look at the airlines. They have had savings. Now, they haven't dropped their ticket prices, but they've had savings of billions of dollars. At the same time, sales have been dropping off. So we're starting to see the truck industry slow down. Now, they predicted in 2015 that they were going to grow by 700 to 1,100 trucks. And now, as we're in 2015, they cut the growth down to 500 to 600 trucks. And this is the beginning of the holiday season where volume would sharply be much, 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 much higher. And we are not seeing that. We're seeing the opposite happen.
Now, before I bring Brother Rashid in, because I know he has something to say on what was just played. Remember at the beginning they talked about the housing situation is about to collapse. And they were talking about the luxury goods are being cut off because nobody can purchase them anymore. Let's go back to the last chapter of that book that I was just telling you about on page 218 and reread it, because it becomes even more powerful after you heard what these white people are saying about the situation now they're facing. It says, at last, the rich man died, and in his death of poverty, he came to suffer the same things that Lazarus suffered, being deprived of good homes and luxury of all kinds. This will be taken in this day and time. See, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had warned you of what to expect. You see how the Rosetta Stone is now showing you these things, and the world events are now vindicating every word that this man says. You can put it up and you would think Elijah Muhammad was standing next to Gerald Celente or Peter Schiff and they were reading out of his script. I always ask the question, did Elijah Muhammad come over to their thinking, or is time and circumstances forcing them to come over to what Elijah Muhammad says? Huh? It's easy to come to a solution. Let me go back to the 310 real quick. Brother Rashid, I know you have something to say, my brother. Salaam alaikum.
Well, he's flying, but it reminds me of when the messenger was here, Wallace and all of his band of rotten, filthy, disgusting hypocrites was laughing. They ain't laughing too much. You know, that rotten Negro is dead. But the rest of these rotten people who was laughing and giggling when the messenger was telling you these things was going to happen, they was up under the messenger saying, ain't nothing going to happen. They look like damn fools, brother. But getting back to what you were saying, I'm in a unique position about what the ports in Los Angeles, because I work out here. There ain't no whole lot of ships out here, brother. And I was working at one company the other day, Maersk International, the big container company, and put on the blog that they had that they was laying off 4,000 people. And 2 days ago, while I was working over at Maersk, my boss came and said, they just laid off 5 superintendents. Superintendent is the one that run the yard. As the manager, like I was telling my children, you gotta get in your brain that which you thinking. You know, when you get a job and we're gonna do this and we're gonna do it, you gotta think of that stuff is over. To sit up and think that you got a long, lengthy of 40, 50, 60 years, whatever. The white man's world is coming down. It gave him a 60 to not exceed 70 years of extension. That's in the book of Daniel. 60 to not exceed 70. We're in the 60 years. from 400 years of slavery. And in the 60 years, all these things are coming to right now. You got to get in your mind that this world is coming down and you must prepare yourself. For the man to sit around talking about he's going to be around here with four, I'm going to get me a luxury house and I'm going to go over there and I'm going to work for this company for 30, 40, 50 years and have a pension. That is a man that is clueless of the circumstances and the time in which he's living.
Well, brother, before you go off the air, before you leave us, brother, do you remember? Don't you believe that man met with God? You remember that?
Yeah, that was said to me by the messenger's oldest brother, oldest son in Phoenix in about 82. He told me and another brother that not to believe that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad met with God. Now, and he did, too. He met with God. Look at how he looked. You see, these guys, they had no foresight. They didn't believe in their father. And Allah did not bless them with any foresight. So they are lost, and most of their family is lost, following people who don't have any wisdom. You know, you sit up and follow somebody that can barely don't even know which way is up. Then what will that lead you into? That'll lead you into the same condition they are in. That would lead you to the condition that you will be lost just like them. Now, this is the messenger's oldest son who's seen the Savior and telling us not to believe that the messenger met with God, but time and circumstances have brought about what the messenger's saying now. He looked like a damn fool. He looked like all the other children of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad who turned out to be rotten vessels, rotten hypocrites, lost in the time of life.
Brother, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll talk more about this in depth later on, you and I and Brother Jerry.
All right,
we'll talk. All right, brother. Walaikum salam. Now, brothers and sisters, see, we have deep, deep conversations on these issues, brother and sisters. And we talk about this, and we often get humbled behind us. We're humbled on the air, but we often become even more humble behind the scene when we think about the mercy that God has given and shared on us to be able to see and be able to disseminate this truth and show you in world events how all of this stacks up with prophecy, theology, time, and how it benefits you and is to the detriment of those who oppose you. But you know what? The devil world is falling, as Brother Rashid has said. And I'm not going to hold you long. I'm not going to be like Jacob wrestling with the angels. I'm not going to hold you all day. But I want to read this to you. And then you can go on your mind, go on about your business and have this on your mind. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, as he's talking to this white man, especially this white man in America, you want to go to war against Allah and the freedom that Allah came to do for your slaves. Before you, Pharaoh had the same idea. He did not want Israel to go free in a land to themselves. Did you hear this? For those of you listening, listen. He did not want Israel to go free in a land to themselves. Pharaoh lost the war against Allah and was drowned in the Red Sea. The losers of this war will land in a lake of fire, not water. So we have America who will not allow you to go to a land of your own. It's going to take the hand of God to free you. And when God works on this devil as he brings him down, he's going to bring him to abject poverty and disgrace. And he's going to rub mud and dung, as the Bible says. The Bible says it's beautiful, that he would rub dung in his face. You know what dung is? Body waste. God is going to rub it all over America's face and all over the white man's face for their misuse and abuse and deception of his elect, for them trying to keep you from accepting your own and bowing to the will of Almighty God Allah. Allah is going to force this devil, and he's forcing this devil into disgrace. He's becoming isolated, and God is bringing him to his knees. And brothers and sisters, I'm asking you now to come willingly before God forces you to come over to your own kind. Hurry, hurry, hurry. join on to your own kind, for the time is at hand. The judgment of America has now come. We go out the same way we came in, with love and an undying passion for the liberation, upliftment, and redemption of first the 68 million here in America, and then the billions around the world. We love you, but Allah and His messenger, they always love you best. As-salamu alaykum, my people.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.